Now, if you were here last evening, you'll know that you have another gospel in your Bible beside Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. So we're going to turn to the fifth gospel tonight, as we were told last evening. I'm just seeing who was paying attention, you said. Not telling you where it is just yet. Well, the prophecy of Isaiah. You know, there's one thing I know that Robert will have prepared and got various thoughts on his mind. But you know, the danger of going last every night, you never know what the previous priest is going to preach on. And he did tell us last night, didn't he, that he was going to take other verses from the fifth gospel, from Isaiah. Well, we're going to chapter 1 tonight. Isaiah chapter 1. I said last night as I opened that last night we thought of an appointment that cannot be missed. And we took the scripture, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And I said last evening, not having any particular scripture in mind, that I was going to speak about an invitation that must be accepted. If you want it in the positive, or if you want it in the double negative, an invitation that cannot be refused. That's what we want to think of tonight. And it's an invitation that starts with that wonderful word, come. Isaiah chapter 1, please, and at verse number 16. Just by way of an introduction to our verse, which is verse 18. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. May I read verse 16 and 18 again? Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now I wasn't around to know what was on the hymn writer's mind. E.R. Latter. Never really come across many hymns like E.R. Latter. Perhaps better do a bit more research, but anyway. Not even given any dates as to when he or she was around. Don't know whether it was male or female. But whatever was on their mind, I'm sure Isaiah 1 verse 18 was somewhere on the hymn writer's mind. And perhaps another verse from the prophecy of Isaiah, which says that though thou take thee nitre, that's a sort of a washing detergent type material, though thou take thee nitre and wash thee with much soap, yet thine iniquity is not cleansed. You see, our hymn has just reminded us of the fact that water cannot wash sins away. And our hymn has reminded us so forcibly, and we've been singing hymns about the blood during these series of meetings, and you know, it's always good to get good hymns that are based upon the scriptures, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, does indeed cleanse from all sin. So we're thinking about an invitation tonight that cannot be refused. An invitation that must be accepted. Come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You can understand why Robert called this the fifth gospel, can't you? How powerfully the gospel, how lovely the gospel is given to us in that verse. I appreciate the background to the prophecies relating to the nation of Israel. I appreciate that. But I want us to make the application tonight, just to you and me, just in this gospel hall tonight, and just to apply it to ourselves. You see, dear friend, tonight, the problem is, as we keep saying throughout these nights, The problem with ourselves, the problem with me, the problem with you, the problem with the people of the city of Coventry, the problem with the people of this country, the problem with the people of the whole world is the problem of sin. It's blighted the whole of humanity. Right down from Adam onwards. What havoc. What wretchedness sin has brought. And it affects me. And it affects you. But the Bible tells me very clearly in the book of Romans, chapter 5, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Literally, when Adam sinned in the garden, the fact that I'm a descendant of sinful Adam, I was conceived with a sinful nature, and I couldn't do anything about it, neither could you. The good news is this. The gospel presents good news. And that's why we have it in this verse. That God, the Lord God, L-O-R-D, capital letters, it means the Lord Jehovah, the ever-existing one, the one that was, the one that is, and the one that is to come, the one with whom you and I have to do, is prepared now to reason. Think about it. The holy, righteous, sin-hating God of heaven is prepared to reason with you and I. He's prepared to mediate for us. He's prepared to bring us to himself and reconcile the difference and the distance that sin has brought. What a God he is. There's never a God like this God, is there? He is the only God after all. You see, the Bible says this, and this verse went through my mind as I was just meditating upon what to say tonight. And it's found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, that there is one God. And there is one mediator. One go-between. One mediator between God. A thrice holy God. A sin-hating God, and men, wretched, sinful, vile men, me and you. There is one God and one mediator between God and men. Who is it? It's the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. We've said it night after night. If we don't get to Christ, and we don't get to the cross, and we don't get to the matter of sin, we've missed it all, and that's what we're going to be saying all of these nights. There is one God and one mediator. That's the good news of the gospel. There's one God and there's one mediator between God and men. It's the man, Christ Jesus. And here is that same God, and he's pleading with the nation of Israel. Come now. Ah, did you notice? Come now. You see, we're people that like to put things off, aren't we? As I taught you last night about an appointment that cannot be missed, I said to you, didn't I, that you don't get a telephone reminder about your doctor's appointment. It doesn't happen. You don't get the opportunity to even know when this appointment is, the appointment with death. And you see, it could come so quickly and so suddenly, with or without any medical condition, and it could come to young and to old, and it comes to male and female, it comes to rich and poor. Death is no respecter of persons, and you know, it could be that it just hits us before we even are ready for it. But you see, that's why there's the urgency about it. And the Lord God of heaven says it's important that we have dealings with God now. You know, we thought about God, haven't we? His almighty power. Think of his almighty love. He's prepared to reason, to mediate, to have discussions with us about our sin, and most wonderfully to provide a Saviour in the Lord Jesus. What an invitation. But what an urgency. Come now. You know, when the Apostle Paul wrote to some Christians at Corinth, he wrote two letters to them, or possibly three, and he wrote two of them were inspired. And in the second epistle, in chapter 6, verse 2, he says this: Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Just now. Get that. Too dangerous to go out of these doors tonight without Christ as your Saviour. It is. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. We quoted the verse last night. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Get saved. Get saved tonight. Here's the invitation again. Come now, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know, it's a double expression there, isn't it? I believe that the truth that's wanting to be conveyed is the same in both cases. We've got two different colours mentioned, scarlet and crimson. And we've got snow mentioned, and we've got wool mentioned. Well, let me tell you about the colours. You know, it would just speak to me about the vileness and the loathsomeness of sin. And possibly some of the sins that could be committed. And you see, the scripture talks about hands that are swift to shed blood. You see, there's every potential of evil in the human heart. And your heart is no different to mine. Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Sin needs rid of. Sin needs cleansing. Sin is obnoxious to God. Yet God still loves the sinner. And through the work of Christ at Calvary, his death in place of mine. Have you thought about that? He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Though your sins be as scarlet, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. They shall be as wool. Snow and wool, naturally, colours are white. Mine's of purity. Do you know tonight, you can stand in the presence of a God who is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-searching, all-holy, all-righteous, who hates sin, and you will stand before him in the righteousness of Christ and be seen absolutely spotless and pure. There's a technical term in the Bible. I don't want to give you technical terms, but it's the term justified, acquitted, made righteous, constituted righteous, not in your own, but in that which has been wrought at Calvary. God wants to have dealings with you tonight. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be, white as snow, then they shall be as wool. May God bless you with his salvation. And I will just finish the meeting this evening.